This horseback ride was less frightening than the times Pervin had ridden huge animals during house party weekends Alice had brought her to in England. Now the shoe was on the other foot. Pervin had come home to practice law in Bombay, and Alice was on an extended visit trying to find a teaching position. In a city where the Mysteries had resided for almost 350 years, Pervin's family connections opened doors, and it looked likely that Alice would be hired as a lecturer in mathematics at Wilson College. Alice had campaigned hard to get Pervin to awaken early enough to ride at 6 o'clock 3 times that week. At the outset, it had seemed like a pleasant idea. The rains had stopped, making the city navigable, although as the sun rose, it became a hot and windy place again. As Pervin came around the ring, she noticed Alice's father, Sir David Hobson-Jones, standing at the edge. He was a Western India Turf Club trustee, despite the fact that he'd been in Bombay for only 2 years. That was the kind of thing that happened when one was part of the governor's ring of top three councillors. Sir David smiled, making a sweeping gesture with his hand. Pervin trotted around the ring, concentrating on keeping her back straight. As she passed Sir David, he made the same gesture, only more vigorously. He was calling her over. She felt her stomach sink. Perhaps he'd come to say someone in the club had complained about an Indian rider. She was the only one she'd seen. Pervin hated to kick the filly, but this was the way she'd been taught to make horses move. Dolly ignored her. It was not until Pervin kicked a few more times that the horse reluctantly walked from the ring into the area near the gate, where grooms waited to assist. A scrawny boy held the horse while she half fell off. She was brushing her dusty hands on the sides of her split skirt when Sir David strolled up. He wore a sharp white suit that looked utterly unsuitable for riding. "Good morning, Sir David. Did you ride earlier?" She tried to sound less shaken than she felt. If Pervin was going to be thrown out of the European established club because of her race, she could not let the matter pass without protest. But Sir David didn't know she was a member of the Indian National Congress, an all-Indian group advocating for civil rights. He understood only that she was his daughter Alice's former classmate at Oxford, a young woman who was rising in Bombay's legal scene. He shook his head. "I came for a quick breakfast before going over to the secretariat. The eggs are very good here. Would you care to join me?" So she wasn't being thrown out, which was good news. Still, she disliked the idea of going off without telling Alice. "But I'm..." Pervin gestured at her riding clothes, which was not a sporty tweed habit like Alice wore, but a light cotton jacket and a voluminous split skirt, the slightly outmoded garment her mother had presented her with as being suitable for an Indian woman doing something as outré as horseback riding. "Don't give it another thought. People wear riding clothes on the veranda. I'll be the odd one out." Still, she felt uneasy. "But Alice, she'll know where to find us." Lowering his voice, the governor's chief counselor said, "I've business to discuss with you anyway, before she arrives." Business was a welcome prospect for a Bombay lawyer who was well known but not as busy as she'd like. In the ladies' lounge, Pervin scrubbed the track's dust from her face and hands and brushed out her hair before fixing it up again in a coronet. She left off the pith helmet she'd been wearing, although its absence revealed a bright red line running straight across her forehead. Walking out to the veranda, she felt multiple pairs of English eyes on her. Was it because she'd been seen with Sir David? Or was it the silly split skirt? Sir David waved encouragingly at her, and this set off a chorus of whispers. "I've taken the liberty of ordering you breakfast," he said. "You go straight to work after this, don't you?"
"I try to open up the office before 8, she said, putting on her best business voice. "It's the only time one can attack one's papers without interruption."
"Yes. As I mentioned, I may have a good prospect for mystery law." She leaned forward so eagerly she almost knocked her empty teacup out of its saucer. "Does someone you know need?"